I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live podcast. This is a segment from last week's live video show. You can find either one of the live video shows on either Thursday at 7 p.m. or Sundays at 12:05. And now, on with the show.
My mic was muted. My apologies. Try this again. I want to welcome you to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live. Please pay attention to our warning graphic. It states that the Retro Rogues Live show is intended for an adult audience and not intended for children under the age of 13. Parental discretion is advised. So I want to welcome you to tonight's episode. This is episode 145 of the Retro Rogues Live. On tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about Moon Knight. We're going to be talking about a lot of werewolves, Why the Last Man, a cyber frog, and we're even going to be talking about Jack the Ripper. A lot of apocalyptic stuff and bloodshed on tonight's episode of the Retro Rogues Live. Anyhow, my name is Dave Beta. I'm one of your hosts. For nearly the last 30 years, I've been a professional illustrator and graphic designer. Worked on a lot of fun things that some people have heard of, such as Batman Incorporated, Justice League of America, and even Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. And I even, once upon a time, worked on, what was the name of that vampire book? I can't remember. Not important. We're going to skip that. I want to welcome back my co-host. This is Mr. Eric Alexander. Eric, please tell the folks, hope you're watching or listening at home, some of the fun things you have worked on as a creative professional.
Yes, hello. I'm Eric Alexander, also known as Bass God 14. That's Bass God 14, not Bass God. That's Bass God, like a bass guitar. And I am the chief financial officer of Bad Bob Productions, which is a small film production company located in Arizona. Currently, I am the executive producer on a film called Staycation, which is mostly wrapping up most of its actual in-studio principal photography and currently doing some more Zoom pickups as we speak.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. All right. A lot of blood red graphics tonight because we're going to be talking about a lot of bloody supernatural creatures and things. So it should be a fun episode tonight. We do have a little bit of house business here right off the top. Try and make this really quick. I just want to announce there will be probably no Sunday episodes moving forward. Basically, I am buried in stuff, so we're probably not going to be doing the Sunday episodes for the next little while. Eric is going to attempt to do some stuff actually probably on Sunday. You said that, right, Eric?
This Sunday, I will not. In fact, that was the original plan, that this Sunday we weren't really going to be doing anything anyway. And because of Dave's schedule, we've decided that the official Sunday show, that's the Rogues retrospective show. That's where we usually do reviews of like vintage legacy type movies, TV shows, things like that. We're going to be kind of putting that on hiatus, at least for the undetermined future or whatever, until we feel like we can do it again. Dave's just too busy. But I'm actually going to be in Vegas at that time anyway. And I'm going to be in Vegas for the, it's no longer an official Star Trek convention, but I'm going to be there for, I think it's called the 55-year voyage celebration or something like that. It's still Creation that's doing it, but they lost the license. It's no longer officially a Star Trek convention. So I'm going to be there early on Sunday. The convention doesn't officially start until Wednesday. While I am there, I am going to go ahead and try to get some footage. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just do some vendor room walkthroughs. I might try to do some interviews. I might try to get some panel footage. I get some general stuff. I'm just going to have my phone, so it's probably not going to be the best quality or anything. But I will have my computer, so we should be able to do a collector's corner on that Thursday, and I'll be there in Las Vegas when we're doing it. And maybe I can get something special, maybe something from the vendor floor. Maybe I can even get an interview with somebody or something like that that's showing off their wares, something cool like that. So we'll see what we can do. So I'm going to be doing that throughout next week. While I'm there, I'll be leaving early Sunday. So basically Wednesday through Saturday, I'll be trying to get some footage there from off the floor. Yeah, maybe get something like that, like what Dave's showing there. You know, there's actually, I know there's a vendor there quite often that has some really cool, models like that, some cool, starships and things like that. So I'll see what I can do. No guarantees, but I'm going to go ahead and try to see, you know, what I can get while I'm over there and try to take advantage of the event, which I think is going to be a little bit weird. I know that Nevada is already kind of going a little bit into lockdown mode, So it's going to be a weird convention. Like, for instance, in order to get in, you have to have proof of vaccination or you have to have a negative test. And they're going to be enforcing masks at the event. So it's going to be a little bit strange. I don't think people were anticipating this when this event was first announced. But I'm going to be doing that. And then going forward, I'm going to try to do some additional stuff on my channel. But that leads to the fact that, Dave, you've got your channel, your YouTube channel, and you're going to be doing some stuff for that. I'm actually going to put that link over here in the chat so everybody can check it out. Why don't you talk about some of the stuff that you're planning to do on your YouTube channel?
So my channel is going to become sort of like a replay site for these actually live episodes here. It'll just be just a replay version of this actually over there on my channel. There's a tutorial actually over there on my channel. If you want to watch me draw a blue beetle, there's actually a tutorial over there where I talk about my career and actually draw a blue beetle. I'm going to be uploading more drawing kind of tutorials and stuff like that on that channel. And eventually all of the In the Studio retrospective episodes that you have all heard me talk about off and on, maybe you haven't seen all of those are also going to be over there on my channel as well. So it'll be a sister channel actually to the Base God 14. This is still going to be the main channel, but that'll be kind of like the we're not going to call it the sister channel, the brother channel, whatever you want to call it, the other channel.
channel.
We'll just have, yeah, my channel, whatever, my channel. So you can go over there, check it out, see what's going on over there. So it's going to probably be more art focused over there, probably at the end of the day. And then there actually is a couple episodes of the Retro Rugs Live mystery episodes over there too. If maybe you didn't actually see those, you can go check those out over there as well.
Yeah, and a big part of this is we're trying to experiment with the algorithm and see if we can have a channel that doesn't do live content and see if that affects the algorithm, because Dave and I are pretty convinced that the live algorithm is not helping us on YouTube. We primarily get our live viewers from Facebook. So we're going to see if that does anything, if we have sort of like a replay channel or a studio channel, if you will. We're going to see if that maybe actually helps us, you know, grow on YouTube a little bit, since we've, you know, my channel is kind of stagnant. So I think I'm at about 245 subscribers. It's steadily gone up, but it's been out there for quite a while. And quite frankly, we usually get very few, if any, live viewers from YouTube. It's very rare that we actually do. But we do get plenty of love from Facebook, and Hollywood Jackson's in the house. So Hollywood Jackson, we appreciate you checking out the show. He says, hi, guys. Hi back to you, Hollywood. And David Mott says, stop playing with your toys, David. Stop playing with your toys, Dave. That's all I'm going to have to say. I'm going to have to say David Mott and Dave. Maybe that'll help a little bit. I try to always say David Mott so that I try to clarify, but he says, stop playing with your toys, Dave.
And packages are in the mail, so everybody keep an eye on your mailboxes. Theoretically, things should be arriving for those of you who have won contest things. Pretty much everything's in the mail at this point. It's up to the post office to get it to you in a timely manner. I wash my hands of it now. And you know, Eric, it might be good for that Thursday actually to do a Star Trek focused episode, because I have a lot of
that would be good here. Yeah, maybe we should just do that. We'll do like Star Wars collectibles, and I will try and see if I can get anything, if I can even get maybe a pre-recorded interview or something like that that we can incorporate into the show, something along those lines. I'll see if I can do anything on Wednesday, which is a good time to do it, because Wednesday is generally one of the, you know, least attended days. So I might actually be able to talk to a vendor or something like that and at least get a little snippet, have them show me their booth. That'd be kind of fun, you know, show what they have available in the vendor room. So maybe we'll just go ahead and commit to that. At the very least, I'll pick up something and talk about it. That'll be my default. I'll just buy something and talk about it on the air, you know, if I have to.
Very cool. Very cool. And I do have one more house clearing thing, but I'd like to do that a little bit later. In the episode, probably towards the end. But I'm going to tell you about that event where you can actually get the, the original Superheroes trading cards, the very first one, Atom Man from 1946. Let's put that other image up too so you can kind of see how it looks. There is going to be exclusive t-shirt that goes with this. It's produced by Kirby Tees. This is the first of the Kirby Tees original superheroes, celebrating a lot of those original public domain superheroes. Adam Man's going to be the first one. I'll tell you who the next one is probably next week when I can actually show that off. But I'm going to have two original collectible t-shirts in addition to some of the other stuff at an upcoming event. It's called the Fandom Mania in Prescott Valley on August 14th. But I'll talk more about that a little bit later in the episode so that we can actually get into our main topic.
Yeah, that should be a fun event. I actually do wish I was able to go to that, but it's just a scheduling conflict, unfortunately. So,
yeah. Cool. Any other house news you want to do here at the top, Eric? Or are we good to go ahead and get into our main topic?
I think we covered it all. So I think we're ready to talk about some comic books here.
All right. Very cool. All right. So we are going to step away from the world of trading cards for tonight's episode. We're going to be talking about comic books. And the reason we're going to be talking about comic books is because of something I've been talking about for quite some time, but it is beginning to pick up steam as a rumor. And there's a lot of different places you probably might have heard this rumor, seen this rumor, whatever. As far as I could tell, I picked this particular website just because it's an early one that ran this story. They might have actually been the one who might have actually broke this. So again, it is rumor. I don't know how true it is or isn't. But the reason I want to talk about it as a pop culture news story and lead into the collectibles is because it leans into something I think is going to happen on the Moon Knight Disney Plus series. And I think it's important to keep this in mind, irregardless about this rumor. So this is coming from the Cosmic Circus. This did actually break a couple days ago. This says this is exclusive. This was by Lizzie Hill. It says exclusive Werewolf by Night to be a Disney Plus series, working title and filming date revealed. I've seen a lot of different people run with this, which is why I think there might be some validity to it. But again, it's important to remember this is just rumor. Okay. But it says a few weeks ago, it was revealed that director Kevin Smith, he's surfacing again, was told by Jeff Loeb that he could not use Werewolf by Night for his since-scrapped Howard the Duck Hulu series due to the fact that Marvel would be using the character elsewhere. I can exclusively report that Werewolf by Night will be a Disney Plus series filming under the working title Buzzcut. The production company for Werewolf by Night is Natural History Productions, LLC. The series will begin filming next February. Werewolf by Night has previously been rumored to be in Moon Knight. Given that we already have characters spawning off of the MCU films and shows getting their own series, it seems very possible we could see the character in Moon Knight first, but there are only rumors about that so far. So I had already theorized that it only makes sense that Jack Russell, the Werewolf by Night, appear in the Moon Knight series anyway. So if you want to check this out against Cosmic Circus, if you want to go to this website and actually, you know, read more about this article, I think at this point we're pretty much done with this. And the main reason I wanted to talk about this and lead into the collectibles is because Werewolf by Night and Moon Knight have quite the history. Okay. Moon Knight debuted in Werewolf by Night. So I have a couple comics I'm going to show, and I'm going to set up why I picked tonight's selection. So this is my copy of Werewolf by Night. This is 33. This is Moon Knight's second appearance. This is a CGC graded version. It is only a 3.0, but still, this is the second appearance of Moon Knight. You can see him battling Jack Russell, the Werewolf by Night, on the cover. This is his second appearance. This is a fairly pricey book, even in a low grade. This is Werewolf by Night 37. This is actually Moon Knight's third appearance. But it's kind of like a hallucination. So a lot of people say this doesn't really count as a true Moon Knight appearance because it's mostly a hallucination. But a lot of people consider this to be Moon Knight's third appearance. But again, you can see both of these are Werewolf by Night books. And Werewolf by Night and Moon Knight share a lot of history. So that is going to lean into tonight's picks. We're going to start off here on the top with Moon Knight 29. So this book is, one, a great cover by Bill Sienkiewicz. A truly, truly great classic, iconic cover. This is from 1980. And I for all intents and purposes, this is Werewolf by Night versus Moon Knight round two, as far as I could tell. So this is based on what I could tell so far in my research. This is the second time that Werewolf by Night and Moon Knight actually fought in the comics. This is an early key book for Moon Knight. And because of its direct relation actually to Moon Knight and Werewolf by Night, if you want to try and play into this Marvel bump, this is a really, really great book to get your hands on. Plus, it is an absolute iconic cover. This is my copy here. I intend to get graded. This is a beautiful, beautiful looking book. The artwork in it by Bill Sienkiewicz is absolutely incredible. It is a fun story. And it's just absolute killer book. So this is going to be one of the ones that we're recommending for tonight. I have updated my usual policy when I do recommendations. I try to keep them to $20 or less. I'm doing $20 to $30 because you can get this one anywhere from about $15 to about $30 and up. But if you keep your eye out, you can probably get a pretty good deal on this one. What do you think about this pick, Eric?
So is that ungraded or is that graded?
That's ungraded.
Ungraded, okay.
Ungraded.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the Marvel bump quite a bit on this show, and there's always that possibility. And what's interesting is sometimes it doesn't even have to happen. That's how the Marvel bump can work sometimes. You know, the hype machine alone can move the price of these books. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
And that's the thing that's really interesting about this one. I think this one could be a really, really good get, especially if you can find a decent quality copy of this one raw and then potentially get it graded. Like, I think this could be a really interesting play. Also, too, if you're a Moon Knight fan, this is a really, really great book to have in your collection if you don't have it already. And like I said, as far as I could tell, this is Werewolf by Night versus Moon Knight round two. This is the next time that they battle. Originally, they bought in Werewolf by Night's title. The second time they fight is in Moon Knight's title. So this is a really, really interesting key book in my mind. If you want to play into the Marvel bump, if you want to get in the speculation game, if you're excited about the possibility of Werewolf by Night in the Moon Knight series, I think this is a really, really good one. And it leads directly into actually the next pick for tonight's episode two. And it's actually the next issue in the story. And it's actually going to be Moon Knight number 30. Now here's, you can see my copy right here. I'm intending to get graded at some point. This is another really cool, like really cool Bill Sienkiewicz cover. Again, the artwork in this is absolutely incredible. This is just a great, great book. Again, this one's a little bit more than the one before. I don't know if it's because Moon Knight's on the cover, but you could see like this would be a really neat book to get graded to have in your collection. But again, you know, $30 give or take, might be able to find a decent copy even for less. If you want to get into the speculation game, if you want to do some, you know, kind of, we'll call it venturing into Moon Knight territory. If you like werewolves, the kind of the more darker supernatural side of the MCU, I do feel like Moon Knight is going to be our introduction into sort of that darker edge of the MCU. I feel like Moon Knight is going to lead us into Punisher. I feel like Moon Knight is going to lead us into the Werewolf by Night, Jack Russell. I feel like all of this is eventually leading us to Blade. And that's the thing. I think all of this is leading us to Blade. And it's a really interesting way to do this with Moon Knight. What do you think about this pick, Eric?
I really like the cover. I do like the cover on this one. It's very dynamic. It's eye-catching. I do like the cover quite a bit on this one.
And these are two just really great looking books just in general to have in your collection. So, and these are great, great Moon Knight books, very iconic covers in my mind by Bill Sienkiewicz. And highly, highly, highly recommend them. And again, if you're excited about Moon Knight, if you're excited by Werewolf by Night, if you like the Disney Plus stuff, if you're excited about this journey into the darker side of the MCU, I feel like Moon Knight might be our entry point into this. Time will tell. Again, the Werewolf by Night thing's a rumor, but it would only make sense for Jack Russell to show up in Moon Knight because of their connection. These characters are linked at the hip, kind of. And I've said for a long time that I felt like Ethan Hawke might even be playing Jack Russell. Now, I could be totally wrong with that, but when they first cast him, all I could think of was like, wow, he'd be cool to play Jack Russell, the Werewolf by Night. All right, so there you go.
David Moss asks, what's the starting bid? Just kidding.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of already threw that out there for tonight, just because these books are kind of pricier. The cards are kind of fun because they could be all over the map, because sometimes the trading cards could be, you know, a dollar, right? You know, or we've seen some cases, you know, $50-$60, right? So, but with these comics, because we're outside of my usual $20 price range, I want to just go ahead and just lead off with the price. So if you want to get into it, this is another really great one from 1980, Moon Knight number 30. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the next one, Eric. We're going to move kind of quick tonight.
David Motz also said that he thought your copies looked nice, and he would love to know what grade they come in at. So maybe you can follow up on that in a future show if you do decide to get those books graded.
Yeah, my copies are in really immaculate condition. There's a little bit of some kind of things that could probably be pressed out on both of these, actually. But there's not any really significant color breaks on them. And it's funny because I've had these since I was a child, but there's not a lot of color breaks on mine. And usually with black covers, that's tricky. But I've had these since I was a kid. I bought them off the rack, and I've always kept them in really good shape because I'm one of those weird psychopathic people that does that. and, you know, I've just always tried to, and I love Moon Knight. I really love Moon Knight. That's why I actually have graded Moon Knight books here. Big fan of that character. Very excited about the show. Hope it's going to be good. So let's go ahead and go into our next pick, unless there's any more comments from the Rogue Gallery.
Now we can move on to the next one.
All right. Okay. Let's go. Let's not do Astounding Wolfman just yet. Let's do Night Stalkers. All right, so I'm going to recommend this book again. We're not going to talk about it too much. Night Stalkers number one. This is a key appearance. A lot of the Blade stuff is kind of getting out of hand on the price side. You can still get a decent copy of this relatively inexpensively, because I just feel like this book is not very highly valued. There's been a lot more talk, and I'm hearing a lot more rumors about Night Stalkers and the Midnight Suns and all this stuff coming to Disney Plus or possibly being like a movie. So if you want to get into the Blade game, the Night Stalkers, which is the team that Blade is a part of that, you know, hunts the supernatural creatures, I feel like Night Stalkers number one is a good play, and you can still get it pretty cheap. So this is just, I just want to remind you again, we covered this issue more in depth in a previous episode, so I recommend go check that out in the replay, but I want to recommend it again because I'm hearing more people talking about Night Stalkers and Midnight Suns. What do you think, Eric? I mean, I think this is a pretty good one if there is going to be a Marvel bump.
Well, as you mentioned, we've talked about this particular issue on previous episodes, so it seems to constantly be coming up. So what was the last value that you had on this one?
This one was pretty cheap. I actually got my copy. I bought three copies actually of this for like $5 each. It was in a group listing on Mercari a couple months ago. You know, this one just doesn't seem really to fluctuate very much or go up. I don't know why it is. I mean, I know there's a lot of other more important key Blade issues. Let me do a current little search here just real quick on Mercari just to see if there's any. Yeah, $15. Here's like all the Midnight Sun stuff for, yeah, $10, $15. Some people have like listings, you know, $20, $16, $14. 5, 5, 17, 11. It's all over the place, but less than $20, you can still pick up a decent copy of this book. And again, if they decide to go this far with Blade and actually do the whole Night Stalkers and the Midnight Sun stuff, I think this would be an interesting one to pick up. All right.
Yeah, very cool.
Cool. All right. Unless there's any comments from Rogues Gallery, let's go ahead and go to our last one. This is an interesting book. This has actually been showing up on other people's lists the last few days, and it's kind of a surprise. I enjoyed Robert Kirkman's Astounding Wolfman series. I really like the artwork by Jason Howard. This is actually my copy right here. I got this during Free Comic Book Day back in 2007. It was free. And I really liked it, and so I ended up continuing on with the series and actually read the entire Astounding Wolfman series, and I really, really liked it. It's an interesting character because he is a werewolf, but he's kind of trying to be a superhero, but he gets an outfit, and it's just really cool. I just really, really liked this series, and it is very much a throwback to the Marvel 1970s, like, you know, again, Werewolf by Night, Tomb of Dracula. Like, it's very much a throwback to a lot of that kind of stuff. Really cool book. I really like the artwork. And this has been showing up on other people's lists because there's a lot of talk that the Astounding Wolfman may be coming to the Invincible animated series that's actually on Amazon Prime. And because of that, people have been buying and picking up copies of this book. So I am making this my pick for tonight. Number one, because you might be primarily, not use number one, primarily because you might be able to find some copies of this book, either in 50-cent bin or quarter bins. You might have a friend who has a copy of this book who has no attachment to it. It's like, oh, good, for free, here, take it. You might have a copy of this book buried somewhere in a box. You might want to pull this one out and sit it aside because there is a possibility that something might be happening with this book. I don't know if I would run out and try and like buy it on eBay or anything right now because it's already started to go up. But if you go out and you look around, you could probably find a copy of this book relatively inexpensively, a lot of different places, or you might already have this one. So as we've said before, if you have a copy of this book, you have no attachment to it, you just want to make some room, now is probably the time actually to sell this book because there's a lot of interest in this character. What do you think about this pick, Eric?
What did you say it was going for? Did you mention what it was going for?
I'm seeing it anywhere from $30, some listings over $100. It's already started to go up, and this is a book.
Considering most people got the book for free.
Yeah.
Wow, that's man. If I had it, I'd be selling it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, I'd be selling it. I'm not familiar with this particular character. Granted, if I read it, maybe I would have some attachment to it and think, oh, this is really cool. Maybe I would want to get rid of it. But you know, geez, you got it for free, and it can make, you know, $30 to $100. I would sell it immediately.
Yeah, it's the prices are kind of all over the place with this one. But it's just really interesting. There's been a lot of excitement around this character, and it seems like it's just kind of spurring out of this. I don't know exactly where this rumor got started, but there's been a lot of talk that the Astounding Wolfman will be coming to the Invincible series on Amazon Prime. It's a really, really cool character. I think of all the characters that Robert Kirkman has created, this is one of the ones that speaks to me the most. And I think it's because of my love of, like I was showing off, a lot of these older, you know, Marvel books like Werewolf by Night. Like, it speaks to me. And so I remembered, I was kind of looking forward to it, and I got a copy of it for free, and I really liked the series. It was very well written. It had a lot of interesting twists and turns, and I just was like, wow, this is a really cool series. So I read the whole thing. I bought it in singles. I don't have a trade of it because I read it all in singles as it was coming out. And it was one of the more exciting series that I have read in recent memories for me personally. Now, you know, your mileage may vary differently, those of you out there in the YouTube land, Twitter sphere, whatever. But for me, I really enjoyed it. And so I just found it really interesting that there's a lot of excitement. So if you have a copy of this book in your collection, you think you have a copy sitting around somewhere, pull it out, sit it aside. This one might be worth grading here down the road. But in the short term, if you do have a copy of it, you don't care about it, now is the time to sell this book, I think, while the excitement is really kind of interesting and while people are hunting for it. So what I'm saying is, unless you can get it for cheap, now's not the time to buy it, but now is probably a good time to sell it.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the hype machine works, because we talk about the Marvel bump all the time. We don't necessarily talk about Image or some of these other properties. So it is interesting how the hype machine can certainly affect various comic book prices. And we talk about it on the show all the time. David Mott says, I sold it for $5 and I thought it would be the highest price I would ever get. I guess I was wrong. You know, David Mott's, I'd be like, $5 for a free book? You know, that's awesome. So I can totally relate to that. But it just goes to show you that some of these free comic book day books can be worth money. I never thought of that, to be honest with you. But I always look at those free comic book day books as just something nice to have. It's interesting to think that they could actually be worth some money someday. So I definitely have held on to mine. I've got quite a few, and my kids have quite a few. So I have to take a look at them and see what we got.
Yeah, you need to go through those, Eric, and see if you have a copy of Umbrella Academy, because Umbrella Academy also started with a free comic book day book, and that's a pretty pricey one too. So search and see if you have a copy of Umbrella Academy. Because that's another one that was a free comic day. There's a Spider-Man book that peaked for a little while too, that was the first appearance of Jackpot as well. So sometimes the free comic book day books, depending upon what happens, the debut of a character, first appearance of the character, just like with other things, they can spike and they can increase in value. So definitely check them out. So again, too, we've never talked about Umbrella Academy, but if you have a bunch of free comic day books you've collected over the years, go through there, search and see if you also have a copy of Umbrella Academy and set that aside, because that's another one you might want to take a little bit more better care of right now. Just like this one, Astounding Wolfman. If it turns out he actually does come to an animated form, this one's probably going to just keep potentially going up. It's a really cool character. I think if people meet this interesting version of a superhero Wolfman, I think they'll really like it. I loved this series when it was originally coming out.
Yeah, this is actually a good segue into what I want to talk about. So some of you folks may be aware that recently they came out with a trailer. In fact, it came out today, as I understand it, for Why the Last Man. Now, Dave is not a Why the Last Man fan, so I do want to qualify that. So, you know, he never really got into it, but I did. And I did watch the trailer. Here's an article referencing it. It's from Gizmodo. And the title reads, Why the Last Man's First Trailer is Finally Here. It says, a long-awaited adaptation of Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerrera's post-apocalyptic DC comic series arrives on FX on Hulu next month. I do think it's kind of interesting. Obviously, FX is, you know, technically, you know, is a Fox network. You know, and Fox Network still exists. Fox Studios doesn't exist anymore, but Fox. I think it's interesting that this is on Hulu, because those of you that are familiar with Hulu know that that is actually a Disney company now. In fact, that's the streaming. I have the actual bundle where I have Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus all together. So I thought it was interesting that this it's a, you know, technically a Vertigo property. I think it's interesting Gizmodo refers to it as a DC property, but you know, I guess same thing is the way they look at it. But this didn't end up on HBO Max. It's going to be on Hulu. And what's interesting is happening. I have heard so many false starts for Why the Last Man as a television show that I thought it was pretty much a dead property. But I will say this. In the times we're living in, it makes perfect sense that they would make this into a show, because it's a show where basically all the men are dead except for, you know, one guy, essentially. That's the premise of it. And I'm not giving anything away that's in the trailer. Basically, all the men are dead, except there's this one crazy survivor and, you know, his wacky adventures with his little monkey there that you can see in the picture that I have set up there. So we often talk about the bump that the media will have, you know, on books. And unfortunately, I didn't, this is kind of breaking news, so I didn't have my actual comic books ready to go. But what I do have to reference is a ton of graphic novels here. So you can see here, I've got book two, book three, book four, book five. I don't have book six, at least not in this collection here. And then it skips to book seven, but I've got a ton of the graphic novels. Now the graphic novels, and I checked, in fact, I have a screen here to show you folks as far as what's going on with these books right now. Graphic novels don't seem to have much of an afterlife, if you will. Dave, I'm curious what your experience is on that. Would you say that that's kind of the case? You know, that it seems like graphic novels don't seem to really necessarily go up in value, certainly not as much as the individual, you know, like monthly type books.
No, they typically don't. But it, in all honesty, though, it really depends upon the property too. It's not a hard and fast rule that they don't always do well. Typically, they do not. But that's not always the case. And then there are certain places, like if you can't find it and you have to, you know, like usually sometimes with certain things, I can't find it anywhere else. And sometimes I end up having to go to Mile High Comics and buy it from Mile High. Mile High is usually a little bit more expensive than everyone else. Apologies if anyone from Mile High watches this. I quite like the service. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm just saying that Mile High is typically a little bit more expensive than everyone else. But usually Mile High has a greater selection of everything too. So Mile High, a lot of times with their trade paperbacks, they may have it, and it's usually definitely marked up.
I think one of the issues is that trade paperbacks tend to not go out of print. That you tend to be able to order them. Like if you go to Barnes & Noble, I was even looking at some of these books. You can still order most of the graphic novels at Barnes & Noble, but the actual comics, the monthly version, the floppies, however you want to refer to them, they've been out of print for a while. And you should see some of these numbers. So right over here, we've got a listing for Why the Last Man number one, graded as a 9.8. So it's graded for $2,400. That's $2,400. Now, whether they get that amount, I don't know. But you've got another listing right next to it for $800. That's a 9.6. Somebody's listing at 8.5 for almost $1,300. So it's kind of interesting. I had no idea that the first issue was this like sort of coveted and it went for these numbers. Now, there is like an example even on this page as you get further into the series. For instance, we've got a this is an issue. What have we got here? This is an issue 28. And this one, it's not graded, but it's being sold for like $3. Okay, so it is. There is obviously quite a variation. Oh, by the way, there's also here for Why the Last Man Book One, Barnes & Noble, $20. Okay, so that kind of shows you the difference between a monthly book and the actual graphic novel, because Book One is still in print. You can get it for $20, brand new at Barnes & Noble, whereas the original books as they came out in their monthly versions are apparently going for quite a bit of money. So I, for one, since I know I have some of these, but I don't know where they are, I thought they were, you know, with my graphic novel books. They aren't. I got to figure out what I did with my monthly Why the Last Man, because I may have the first issue. I don't have Book One, and I know I read the story. I know I read the first issue, and I can't find Book One. I'm kind of thinking, did I loan it to somebody? Or do I actually have the number one issue of this book? So I'm going to take a look in my own collection. I advise you folks to do the same because I think that there's definitely going to be a bump for this series. It's a gamble as far as whether this series is going to be successful or not. I'll tell you, the timing is perfect for the way things are right now, because there's only one basically major male character after the first episode because everybody dies. So it's going to be completely female.
Spoiler alert.
You know, it's going to be completely female centric. By the way, that's in the trailer. So that's not a spoiler. Anything in the trailer is fair game. So just if you have any of these issues, you may want to take a look at, you know, Why the Last Man, because I can guarantee you there's going to be some sort of bump. Now, that there's that gamble. You can wait and see, because if the show really takes off, you might be able to even get more money. But if you don't have any kind of an emotional attachment to the thing, it might be the best time to get rid of it, especially looking at these prices and actually getting it graded and going the whole way. If you can get $2,000 for a comic book, I mean, I'd be very tempted to sell it if I have mine and I can find it.
I feel like it should be Jim Cramer on Mad Money hitting that button. Sell, sell, sell.
Exactly. Exactly.
But again, I don't have any attachment to Why the Last Man, but if I had a copy of number one sitting around here, I'd be like, what if I get for this?
I obviously stayed with it for a long time. I mean, I've got book seven here. But around that time, I just started to not be interested in it anymore. It was like, I almost felt like it wasn't really going anywhere. And people who have actually read the entire series might be sitting there screaming at me like, but oh, the ending's so good. You really need to go all the way to the end. And it was just like after a while, because it is a very serialized story. So it is a very much a continuous story. And I guess I'm not that used to that with my comics. I tend to like comics that are just more of an episodic nature where it's a continuous story from beginning to end. I like a lot of kid comics, honestly, because that's the way they are, like the adventure type series, like, you know, Superman Adventures, Batman Adventures, that kind of stuff. And that's one of the reasons I think I enjoy that kind of stuff, is because, you know, you've got a complete story from beginning to end in one little book. I enjoy that. Although this is one, obviously, that I did get into. Again, I mean, I've got book seven sitting here, so I did get into this one quite a bit for a while. But I've got to find those floppies. I've got to find those monthly books, because apparently they are worth some money. And I have no idea where mine are at. So,
well, there you go. If you've got them in your collection, you don't have a big attachment to them, sounds like maybe it's a good time to flip that Why the Last Man. Or again, too, like I recommended, now might be a good time to flip that free Comic Book Day version of Astounding Wolfman, again, if you don't have an attachment to it. If you do, set it aside and take care of it, because it might be worth a couple bucks if the rumors turn out to be true.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I did promise that I was going to give some updates on some Indiegogo campaigns that we have previously covered on this show. I'm going to go ahead and start with Jack the Ripper Vampire Hunter. We did talk about this when, actually even before the campaign went live, we were talking about this book. For those of you that are not familiar, Mandy Summers, she's the publisher and writer of this book. She's actually a pretty popular YouTube personality. She does a show on Midnight's Edge called Toxic Femininity, which is pretty popular. I mean, they get up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of views, you know, live on that show. It's quite a big show that they do every Monday. But some people might realize that she actually publishes her own comic books and writes her own comic books, and originally was drawing her own comic books. But she actually has found someone to collaborate with to do the artwork on these books. So this is called the Jack the Ripper Vampire Hunter. And it's got 24 days still left in the campaign. It's already got 356 backers, and it's made 4,641% of its flexible goal, which is originally $500. So the original goal was $500. They've already made $23,205. This is pretty amazing when you think about the fact that this is someone that's fully independent. Her artist is Peter Gilmore. I have been looking at some of the images, and I just think that the art looks fantastic. But this is really something for someone that, as far as I know, I don't know about Peter Gilmore's background, but as far as I know with Mandy, she's always been independent. She's always been doing her own stuff. She's never been affiliated with DC or Marvel or any other large publisher. It's basically all been her. So I just think this is really impressive, and these numbers are really impressive, Dave. I'm curious what you think about this. As far as, I mean, this is a campaign whose goal was $500, and they are at, again, $23,205 right now.
Well, as someone who's published more than his fair share of independent titles, that's really good. We usually sell out of Red Skirts whenever we take it to a convention. But I don't, Star Gods might have sold better than that once upon a time, like a billion years ago. But no, that's really good numbers. I mean, I keep thinking it's a shame that, Lynn and I were doing Bushytales, or when we were doing, if we had been doing Star Gods, when Scott Clark and Dean Zachary and I were doing Star Gods, if we could have actually launched Star Gods, actually on a platform like this, maybe we'd still be publishing Star Gods. You know, maybe those action figures actually would have gotten made, and instead of what ended up happening. So that's really cool. I mean, it's got to be really a neat feeling to be able to create something and have it do incredibly well. That's all I got to say. It must be a nice feeling. So
this is one that I do plan to back myself. In particular, because this is, as far as I know, completely indie. Again, I'm not 100% sure about Peter's background, Peter Gilmore, the artist, or Mandy for that matter. But as far as I know, especially with Mandy, she's basically been doing this stuff on her own and creating her own brand. And I think that's awesome. And I love the artwork that Peter's come up with here. I do interact with Peter and to some extent Mandy on Twitter. They're always like really cool, when I say something and they actually answer back, they're actually like, hey, thank you. And stuff like that, because one of the things I hate about Twitter is so often everybody amplifies the negative. So it's like a lot of publishers and a lot of creators out there, they only interact with people that they either know really well, somehow, or that people that are saying something negative, and then they react to that. And that hasn't been my case with either one of these folks. So definitely something that I want to promote. I did put the link there in the comments on all four of the platforms. That wasn't spam. Check it out. If you want things to change in media, you have got to support independent projects. And so often I get so frustrated with a lot of commentators out there, and even fans to an extent, because all they do is bitch and complain. And they don't put any of their own work out there. They don't put themselves out there. And this is a case of someone doing that and being richly rewarded and deservedly so, because they're putting themselves out there and actually putting out a project and actually doing it instead of just complaining over and over again. Oh, I hate He-Man, or I hate this, or I hate that. They're still saying that, by the way. You can watch, Mandy's show, and she's still complaining about a lot of that stuff. But she's actually doing something. She's actually producing something. And myself, as a producer, I know what that means. I know how hard that is, and I just applaud their efforts. Dave, you were talking about action figures. So the other update that I have is for Cyber Frog. And, of course, this is definitely and I just lost the link. Give me one second here. This is definitely one of those people that it's kind of like you either love them or you hate them. There isn't a whole lot of in between when it comes to Ethan. When it comes to the stuff that he's been doing, he definitely is one of those people that is controversial. And let me get the. Let me get the link back up here. My apologies. I had the link all ready to go, folks, and then I accidentally took it down when I was bringing down the other link. I accidentally brought it back down, and I'm having a little difficulty getting it back up. Just one second here of indulgence. I apologize. So I did want to talk about Cyber Frog. Because this one is possibly even more impressive, because we're not talking about an independent comic, which is fairly common. If you go on Indiegogo or Kickstarter, you're going to see quite a few independent comic books, and also quite a few successful campaigns. To their credit, there's a lot of successful campaigns, but this kind of takes things to another level, in my opinion. We talked about this previously when they were first starting. This is the first wave of Cyber Frog action figures. from Ethan Van Shiver. Am I pronouncing that right, Dave? Is it Shiver or Shiver? Or am I pronouncing his last name correctly?
It's Skyver, Ethan Skyver. Van Skyver.
There we go, Ethan Van Skyver. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but both of you did work at DC around the same time, correct? You and Ethan?
Yes, Ethan and I were working at DC at about the same time. Ethan there was there actually before me. And then he was there probably a little after my tenure kind of ended. My tenure ended kind of abruptly and suddenly, though. But yeah, Ethan was there for a little bit longer.
Ethan as well. So
yeah,
this is the founding of ComicsGate. Whether you love it, you hate it, or you're indifferent to it, he is a controversial figure. I'm not gonna pull punches on that one. But this campaign's goal was $400,000, so almost $500,000. So as of today, they are $467,193. So they have made it. These things are going to be made. And I think that this is really an amazing project. I think at this point, doing any kind of toy based on an independent comic book, which is what this is, although quite frankly, All Caps Comics is getting to the point where it may be beyond independent. All Caps Comics is doing so well that he might actually become a contender as far as publishing. And again, love him or hate him, totally understand Lynn Workman. If you don't like him, you say, I'll never give EVS another penny. Lynn, I'm sure you have your reasons. He's a controversial guy. But you know what? I'm not going to deny success. And this guy, again, there are so many people out there that complain and complain and complain. And this guy complains too. If you ever watch his show, he complains about Star Wars. He complains about a lot of stuff, okay? But he's actually doing something. And I think it's so impressive that he was able to actually pull this off. And it was getting kind of close at one point where you know, I think he was actually getting nervous. In fact, I saw a Twitter where he was saying he was getting a little nervous. But they pulled it off. They did it. And I think even if you're talking about DC or Marvel, if you're talking about something that is just a comic book, especially if it's something new, like if it's a new comic book property, I don't care what level it's at, even if it's DC. I'm not talking about established, by the way. I'm not talking about stuff that's had cartoons in the past or movies in the past or any of that kind of stuff. If it's just a comic book property, in today's day and age, it is very, very risky, I think, to try to do a toy line. And the fact that he was able to accomplish this, I think, is very impressive. Now, will I support this campaign? I'm still on the fence a little bit. These are not cheap. So, you know, we're looking right here at action figures are like $40 a piece. And I am not familiar with the book. Like, I haven't read it or anything like that. So I don't have any sort of, I won't put any sort of, I don't have any emotional attachment to it or anything like that. But I am going to put the link out there because, again, I think you have to be the change you want to see. And I want to see more people doing independent stuff. And if I don't support it in some way, then I'm a hypocrite. And I'm not going to be that guy. So I don't know if you have any thoughts, Dave, about this particular project. We have talked a little bit about it in the past, but I do think this is pretty remarkable because you just don't see a lot of stuff like this when it comes to like independent action figures.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive that they were able to hit these goals. It's one of those things. Ethan probably won't remember me, but I have met Ethan on several occasions on the con circuit, the convention circuit. I just refer to it as the con circuit. Ethan was always very nice and pleasant and cordial with me. I know that he is definitely a controversial figure for a lot of people. You choose whether or not you want to support something, you know. But I do find his success he's been able to have with this interesting and inspiring. I see a lot of people doing really well with crowdfunding campaigns, and it makes me wonder you know, what, you know, talking about Marvel, what if this, what if that? To that point, I was going to, if I can actually get this to upload, I was going to put this up on the stream here just real quick, Eric, if you'll permit me. A billion years ago, Len Workman actually took these pictures. Scott Clark, Dean Zachary, and myself created this series called Star Gods, and we had this action figure raw that all of us worked on and designed. At the time, it had really, you know, interesting, revolutionary articulation. Scott and I spent a lot of time like cutting apart toys and dolls and looking at how they were constructed, and we managed to put together this action figure for Raw. Some people might recognize Raw. He got a lot of coverage many, many years ago. We had a lot of orders for this action figure, and this whole deal fell apart basically because our publisher at the time made, in my personal opinion, some unwise decisions and basically caused the entire studio to collapse basically overnight. But seeing the success that Ethan has had, actually with CyberFrog, it makes me, you know, wonder what if we had attempted to launch this original property with what's available now and today. So what I would say is, for those of you who maybe don't like what Ethan stands for, or even those of you who do, you know, now is the time. It seems like that there's a lot of crowdfunding platforms available. There's probably more opportunity on the internet now than there was before. Those of you who are creative, who feel inspired, who either have something to say or just want to get your character out there. We saw a previous success with someone with a crowdfunding comic book campaign. Now's the time to create your property and put it out there for the world to see. I do agree with what Eric said. If you don't like what's happened with He-Man, if you don't like what's happened with this, if you don't like the direction of that, the easiest way to make a change beyond complaining about it on the internet is to put together that property and roll it out. It doesn't mean you're going to necessarily be 100% successful. I've been a part of a lot of Kickstarter campaigns that have nowhere near touched the dollar amounts that we've been discussing here. However, Eric is right. If you want to see a change, if you want your point of view represented, whatever that is, if you create something and put it out there, at least it's out there. And who knows, possibly it could be a success. I feel like a lot of these properties, some of them I feel like maybe they're running out of gas. You know, that's why we're seeing such radically different directions and takes on things. And Eric's right. If you want to be a change, create something and put it out there.
And to be fair, Mandy and Ethan are both like YouTube personalities, if you will. And I'm sure there's people that just don't like their personality. I mean, you know, Lynn, you're being pretty harsh there, but I'm going to put it up there because we represent all views. He says, you know, Ethan, he was pleasant back in the day, but he's lost his damn mind as the worst kinds of fans following him. He also said Antarctic too. Lynn, I hope everything's okay, by the way, because I'm sensing a lot of negativity. But I agree
with that F Antarctic though. I know exactly what Lynn's talking about, and that's totally warranted. F Antarctic. I won't use the actual full F word, but I agree with Lynn. They really screwed us over.
But the thing is, when we're talking about these people, do have, like I said, they have their own little, their YouTube presence and their own commentary and all that kind of stuff. I could care less about that. I'll say openly that I like Mandy's personality quite a bit. She's a really good looking woman and she's fun. I do check out Ethan's show from time to time, and usually just to see what he's doing, much less about his commentary. I'm more interested in, well, what's your next project? What are you doing? Because again, I do think that All Caps Comics could eventually become like that fifth publisher. You know, it could take up that old mantle that Chaos Comics had back in the day, you know, where it was like number five, you know, something like that. Because he's having a lot of success. And what he's also doing is he's building up a lot of other creators and they're being successful too. You know, I see what Mandy retweets because she's part of that, you know, sort of that group as well. the comics gators and stuff. And I am not, I have no big position on Comicsgate. You know, my thing is I don't like to use those particular hashtags because I don't like to kind of, you know, I don't want to alienate half my audience. You know what I mean? I've talked about that when it comes to media. I don't want to alienate half my audience and say I'm going to commit to this or that. But I definitely do have problems with a lot of the agenda politics that comes into all forms of media today. That includes comic books, movies, and television shows. And it concerns me. And as a result, I'm doing my own stuff. You know what I mean? So that's my answer to it. And that should be, you know, your answer to it, especially if you're a creative person. And if you're not that creative a person, you should be supporting these things, right? If you feel that way, you know, you should be supporting these things instead of constantly bitching and moaning about Star Wars, constantly bitching and moaning about He-Man, constantly bitching and moaning about XYZ. You know what I mean? At some point, you've got to put up or shut up. And Len, I know you've put up. I absolutely know you've put up because I've seen your work. We have some of Len's work hanging in my brother's room upstairs right now. So, but I just kind of want to put that out there. And that's why I want to bring attention to this stuff, because you've got to support indie. If you don't do it, you're just going to keep getting the same drivel. And if you like the same drivel and that's what you want, and you just want more of it, hey, you're fine too, right? Then you don't have to support any of this stuff. You can just keep getting all the corporate junk, and I guess you'll be happy. You know, we'll get more Picard. That's what this show always needs, is more Picard, and that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic to bring up. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's weird how much politics has worked its way into entertainment, even more so than I think I've ever seen before. And if you want to represent a different point of view, the best way to push back against it or to second it, if you want to do that with your wallet, is either create something that you believe in, that you think others will believe in, or secondly, you know, support something you believe in, you know. And if Ethan's project isn't your cup of tea, obviously don't support it, you know. But I'll just put this out there because I feel like it warrants being mentioned in a public forum. I had a meeting here, actually at my house several years ago, and I brought a lot of like-minded comic book creators together, and we had a brunch, and I had a whiteboard, and I encouraged everyone to read Gary Vaynerchuk's Jab Jab Right Hook, or Jab Jab Hook, or whatever his book was, talking about leveraging social media in order to build a brand. And I encouraged everyone, even if I had to buy them a copy of the book, I was going to buy them a copy of the book. And I said, read this book, we're going to have this meeting, and we're going to talk. And I outlined a plan that we could have used to leverage social media in order to actually use the strength of all of our different platforms in order to promote our projects and maybe promote ourselves as a group in order to try and get some traction, whereas we individually had been struggling. You know, and we didn't represent a particular point of view. Like, there was no Comics Gators, you know, at that meeting. I don't think Comics Gate even existed back then. But I saw the writing on the wall that potentially, you know, something like this could be built if you could get enough like-minded people together. And I'll never forget how that meeting ended, with a lot of people saying, well, I got my own thing, so I'm good. And they basically chose for basically us not to work together and not support each other. And guess where we are, everybody? Right damn back where we were at that moment in time. Absolutely nothing's changed for any of them, you know? And that's the thing that absolutely chaps my ass at the end of the day. You know, I reached my hand out and said, come on, let's work together. And then I see what this other group's doing. And I was like, I got my own thing, I'm good. And that still pisses me off to this day. I've never said it before to in their faces, so I apologize if anyone's seeing this right now. But you know what? It really just absolutely chaps my ass, because I have personally seen the writing on the wall that if you work together as a group, you could achieve some pretty good things as a group. As an individual, man, you're probably fucked. You know, excuse my language. But as a group, you might be able to build a platform and actually break through the algorithm and actually build something. And it just kills me that I'm sitting back here and I see what they're doing, and they're building something. Regardless of how you feel about their politics, they are successfully building something because they've come together. And those of us that maybe don't agree with them politically or whatever, you know, now's the time to band together and build something, everybody. You know, that's the thing. But at the end of the day, I'm beginning to wonder what groups are capable of building something. That's the problem, because I've had a group of what I thought were like-minded individuals. I thought we could work together, and no chance, no chance. I got my own thing. I'm fine.
No, that's so true, Dave.
Sure you are.
I had a similar experience back in the day when I was doing the Arizona Comic Book Association. So I feel your pain. And I remember talking to creators who had a similar experience that you did. And I remember specifically Brian Polito telling me, "You're a better man than I," because he's like, "I tried to do something very similar and nobody was interested." So, you know, it happens to, and Brian Polito is very successful at this point. But it's like, you know, it's crazy the way people are. So I say to you, and I do see some of your comments there, Len, if you want to create an alternative, go ahead and do it. And I encourage you to do it, you know, but I think that they're on the right track, because whether you like them or you don't, you hate them, they're having success and they're actually getting independent projects done themselves. And that to me is impressive. And that's what I'm all about. I don't care about the politics. What I do care about also, though, is good stories, you know, and I do care about good storytelling. And if the story is no good, I'm not going to support it, right? You know, if I decide to get a Cyber Frog comic book and I don't like it, I'm not going to get any more, you know? Likewise, if I get Mandy's comic, which I am going to get Mandy's comic, I am going to get the Jack the Ripper Vampire Hunter. I'm going to get that. I'm going to pick one up. If I don't like it, I may not get any more of her books, you know? My allegiance in that way only goes so far. If it's bad quality, I'm not going to continue to support it. But I will give somebody a chance, especially at least one chance, you know. On the other side of it, I did want to just briefly share this, because this is something that's completely in the other direction, because this is very corporate, but it's also kind of fun. It's also kind of fun. So we did talk about some Ghostbuster Afterlife figures on a previous episode. In fact, there's a little picture here in the corner over here of this particular article. This is from GhostbusterNews.com, and I'm not. I talked to Dave about this earlier. I don't know how we missed this. So, this is actually from July 18th. So this has been out a while. I just found out about these. So it says Ghostbusters Fright features are coming soon. Get a closer look now. And I can confirm the reason that I heard about this. The reason that I'm talking about this is because I saw a YouTuber who actually had found these in the wild at a Walmart. And was like, "What are these?" And had posted like a picture on the internet and was like, "Wow, I had no idea that these were coming out." So it says, "Attention Ghostbuster collectors, Hasbro is readying their new Ghostbusters Fright Features action figures for mass retail, with a handful of listings now popping up on Walmart.com, a bit out of stock, giving fans a much closer look at the line." Again, I do know that somebody found these at Walmart. This is an older article. So the first thing we've got here is Peter Venkman. And lo and behold, he looks like Bill Murray. You know, this is priced at $9.84. And these are really interesting. So you can see there's two variations of the sort of ghost he comes with. These are obviously very reminiscent of the Kenner toys, the ones that came out for the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon. But you can see we've got Ray Stans here. We've got Winston's here, and you can see, I guess actually Winston actually one of his variations comes with Slimer. That might be the one to get, by the way, since it comes with Slimer. And we've got, of course, Egon. But what's really awesome to me is that they actually look, you know, like the actors from the live action movie. And I thought that was really, really cool. That was really, really interesting. So I don't know. Dave, you told me you hadn't heard of this, so I'm assuming these are the first time you're seeing these images. What do you think?
They're interesting. It's weird because I actually worked on a line of Ghostbusters sketch cards actually for Cryptozoic several years ago, and I actually did a lot of the ghosts and stuff because I thought they were really kind of interesting, and some of them were the fright effect, you know, where you squeeze the legs and they do whatever. So it's interesting that they're bringing this back. It's definitely a nostalgia play. And it's interesting too, because again, unlike the real Ghostbusters, you know, these have the more movie accurate costumes. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I like Ghostbusters and stuff. I've never been a big collector of the action figures though. So this doesn't necessarily speak to me. Just because I'm, you know, probably more just more a fan of the films than necessarily like collecting all the toys. But I just think it's kind of interesting that they're bringing this idea back. And again, I think it's cool too that they're tying it to, you know, the more movie accurate looks.
Yeah, that's what I think is really interesting. It's to me, they very much look like what the real Ghostbusters cartoon might have looked like if they had based the characters on the actual actors. That's what it looks like to me. And that's what I think is so interesting. I think there's a lot of people out there that will find this interesting. I'm just kind of curious as far as the marketing campaign, because I just now heard of them and apparently they're just like barely getting to stores. And again, that article that I referenced was like mid-July. So if you are interested in Ghostbusters, and if you are one of those people that maybe didn't ever get the Kenner figures because you're like, well, I don't look anything like the movie, well, now's your chance. You can get ones that actually do look like the movie.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. That's what I think is really neat. Again, like I said, is it is more tied in line with the look of the original film. And that's really cool.
Yeah, and Lynn also says they remind me of live action real Ghostbusters figures, which I've seen the real Ghostbusters releases figures at Walmart. And I know they've reissued them. And I can't help but feel that this is kind of part of that they decided to go beyond just reissuing the old Kenner figures, which is essentially what they've done. I mean, they're basically one for one. A lot of these new real Ghostbusters figures, they look exactly like the old Kenner figures. I think they took it a step further, and I think it's kind of cool. And it's kind of almost like a bridging the gap between Afterlife and, you know, the real Ghostbusters, you know? So it's kind of interesting because you have the Afterlife merchandise that's coming out, you know, and then you're going to have the Kenner based stuff. And then you kind of have this somewhere in the middle, which I think is kind of interesting. So I'm going to consider picking them up because at $10 a pop, that's a price point that I could actually possibly get into. Although I've got way too much stuff as it is, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah, it's that's really cool. You know, the I'm trying to remember if I have them, they're easy to get to, because I quite enjoyed that Ghostbusters trading card series I worked on. And it was kind of neat because that's one of the things I leaned into actually the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon look, because I thought it would be really kind of fun and neat to do that. So I did, you know, the Ecto one from the cartoon, you know, I did Slimer as he looked in the cartoon. And it was a lot of fun actually to work on that series. And I thought it was kind of neat too, because as artists, sometimes when you work on a sketch card set, which I haven't worked on a sketch card set in years now, but usually when you work on those, they have all these very stringent rules, but you can and cannot do. And I thought it was kind of interesting that with that Cryptozoic set, we had access actually to the real Ghostbusters style as well as the movie style, which was pretty cool. Yeah. And
that is very cool.
It was weird because I focused on the real Ghostbusters because I thought it'd be kind of like my niche, because I love animated style stuff. I love doing animation artwork, and I thought it'd be kind of different because I didn't think anyone else would do real Ghostbusters stuff. I figured everybody else would do the movies, and then I might be one of the few people who did real Ghostbusters stuff. And actually, a lot of people did real Ghostbusters stuff. It's a very beloved cartoon and version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and the thing is because it was, you know, a daily cartoon for a lot of us, even if we liked the movies and saw the movies, which I did growing up, the cartoon was on every day. So that was like, that was like my Ghostbusters. I had, we had a Ghostbusters club in school, and I was Egon. And so it was like, you know, that's, and it was because of the cartoon much more than the live action movie, you know, for us as kids. So that's definitely a big part of I think a lot of people's childhood, you know, growing up in the 80s. And Lynn, by the way, we did mention when we were talking about the Afterlife figures, you're right. It says, be careful, movie spoilers with the figures. That's true. And we addressed that. And it was one of those things where you can't talk about the Afterlife line without getting into spoilers, because there's clearly some spoilers you get that haven't been addressed in the trailers with the figures. You know, we showed the image just now. They just seeing them, you're going to get a little bit spoiled as far as the Afterlife figures. And then Lynn also mentions, he says, I would have dug working on that Ghostbuster one, doing a Zorro one right now. That would be cool. So you're doing some Zorro trading cards, Lynn. That's pretty cool. That's something that I definitely grew up with as well. Actually, you know, the main iteration of Zorro that I grew up with was the Family Channel TV series. I don't know if you ever saw that one, Dave, but that's what I grew up with watching quite a bit.
Yeah, I've loved Zorro pretty much the whole life. I've actually done costumes actually as Zorro. And it's interesting too, because I've worked on a Zorro set too, but it was weird, Lynn, because they specifically asked me to, you know, it was weird when I was working with Scott. It was half a second of time where some reason I was associated as being like one of those bad girl, good girl artists or something for like half a second. I don't know where the hell that came from. And people were asking me to primarily focus on female versions of characters. So they wanted me primarily to just draw the female version of Zorro. So I did that, and, you know, Lady Rawhide and female version of Zorro. I did a couple actually of the way the female version of Zorro looked actually in Zorro and His Fighting Legion, actually movie serials back in the day. So, and then I also found this too. Let me put this up here on the screen real quick. I did actually find this. These are some of the sketch cards I actually did for the Ghostbusters set for Cryptozoic. Again, you could tell I very much leaned into the real Ghostbusters look. You know, with the Ecto-1 and Egon with Slimer, and because I thought it'd be kind of fun to do that. So that was how my Ghostbusters cards looked, just since we were talking about it. So
yeah, very, very cool. Well, I definitely like those. They look like they came out really well.
Cool.
And then Lynn does mention that he says, I got to draw Tracy sketch cards from the live action Filmation series for a horror art set. And then he also goes on to say, drawing some Zorro, the Gay Blade cards for this set. So that's very cool, Lynn. And by the way, Lynn, if you have a link or anything like that, please feel free to share it. And, you know, I'll share it in the on the screen or in the chat. So if you do have anything that, you know, to show us where people can get your work, please let us know. We'd love to promote you on the show. So,
well, and I'll just say, Lynn does have LynnWorkman.com, and you can get, I know Lynn sold stuff on there before, and I know, like, I think Comic Seller actually carries a lot of his stuff too. Yeah, definitely check it out. Lynn is just an incredibly talented artist. You know, Eric was talking about create your own thing and put it out there. Lynn and I actually did a comic series called Bushy Tales that I feel like now is far, far in the past. But we did collaborate on a great, at least in my mind anyway, a great kind of, how to describe it? Well, it's four female samurai sent on a quest by Hachiman, the Japanese God of War. I'll never forget that log line because I said it so much at conventions. But sort of a post-apocalyptic samurai series. And Lynn painted some absolutely beautiful covers. And just it was a lot of fun to work on that, even though there were times where we were both stressed beyond our wildest imagination. And you know, had things done, you know, worked out better, maybe we'd still be doing Bushy Tales to this day. We had a lot of grand plans for it.
Yeah, it's a fun series. I definitely remember, and I have some copies of the books here as well. So, yeah, cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff.
And then Lynn says, yeah, sell everything through the cellar in Bartlett, Tennessee these days. So is it just the cellar, Lynn? Like, I can't. Yeah, I've been to the place more than I. Let me see. Maybe they've got a. Let's get here on Google here real quick and do seller. Bartlett. Okay, let's see if they've got a website. Here we go. All right, here we go. Let me copy that. So it looks like the seller, they actually do have a website here real quick. So this is their website over here. Again, they're in Bartlett, Tennessee. So you could probably, they got an about page right here. So you could probably contact them. I know Lynn posts a lot of images, actually. I'm going to post the link here. This is not spam for those people who are interested. These would be the people that you would contact to purchase some of Lynn's stuff. So let's put that in the chat. There you go. That is not spam. I put that out on purpose there for everyone who wants to check it out. I might have just sent it twice by accident because that's how goofy my computer is. But anyhow, that's where you would want to go to check it out. I know Lynn's got sketch covers and sketch cards and stuff over there, so definitely check it out. Really, really great stuff, and Lynn's a tremendous artist and really deserves for people to support what he's doing. If I had a comic book company, Lynn would, you know, well, even with Kirby Tees, if I had the money, he would totally be a part of my art staff, because Lynn is an incredibly talented designer and artist, and I've loved his work ever since I first saw it. Like, it seems like a lifetime ago now.
Yeah, he does some great stuff. Like I said, we've got some of his artwork hanging up in this house. So.
I do too. I've got a giant painting by him hanging right back here. Actually, over there.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool.
All right. Very cool. All right. All right. Do we have any other comments from Rogues Guy we want to cover, or do we think that we're probably good for this episode?
I think we are good to go.
All right. Very cool. Again, there'll you know, possibly not be a Sunday episode, and moving forward, there's probably not going to be any Sunday episodes while I attend to get through all the things that I'm currently dealing with. I told Eric I needed to do something because basically I've been working the equivalent of four jobs, and I just can't keep it up anymore, and something had to go. But we are going to continue to do the Thursday episodes. So definitely come back actually here for next Thursday's episode. And since Eric's going to be doing the Trek convention in Vegas, we're going to do a Star Trek themed episode focusing on Star Trek collectibles. And this is kind of cool because Lynn's actually in the audience. Lynn actually painted this for me. This is the Reliant, USS Reliant. Lynn actually painted this for me many, many years ago. And I've had this in my collection. I don't even know how long I've had this, Lynn. Lynn painted, he knows a big Star Trek fan. I think we got this at WonderCon in Louisville like a billion years ago. And Lynn actually assembled this and painted this for me, and it's been a prized piece in my collection ever since. So thank you again for that, Lynn. And I think this is the third or fourth time I've actually showed that off on the show. Lynn's just an incredibly talented guy. We'll do a Star Trek themed collector's corner actually for next Thursday. And that'll be fun. All right. So enough about that. I want to thank you for watching or hopefully listening to this episode of Retro Rogues Live. For those of you who are curious to see part of what occupies my time right now, you can go over to my t-shirt company. That's KirbyTees.com. That's KIRBYTS.com. Got a lot of fun things over there. If you want to support independent artists, if you want to support independent creators, definitely check out what we have over there at KirbyTees.com. We have Brains Are Magic, which is actually Sarah Aerosmith's design. If you purchase that design, Sarah Aerosmith actually gets a large portion of the money. So you're going to be directly supporting Sarah Aerosmith and what she's doing as an independent artist. And if you purchase the Skeletor shirt, actually the Janimal actually sees a large portion of that. And obviously I would greatly appreciate your support as well. And also, too, if you purchase a Retro Rogues Live t-shirt, that's a way that you can actually help support what we're doing here on the Retro Rogues Live. We would greatly appreciate your support. In addition to that, too, if you enjoy the Retro Rogues Live, please tell people about the show. Please share the show. We're trying to grow the show and get more people following what we're doing here. So definitely tell people about the show. Please share the links. We greatly appreciate your support with that as well. And enough about that. I want to thank my great co-host here, Mr. Eric Alexander, for always providing his unique perspective on all these different points of views and collectibles and all this kind of fun stuff. Eric, please tell the folks who will be watching or listening at home where they can learn more about you on the interwebs.
Well, I'm most active on Twitter, so you can find me there at BassGod14, at BassGod14. That is also the official YouTube. That's also the official Twitch. So if you make any comments on those platforms, more likely than not, I am going to be the one responding to you. But my DMs are always open on Twitter. So if you have any show suggestions, let me know. We are going through some format changes, so I'm probably going to be doing some stuff on my own. So if you have any suggestions, you want me to review something or stuff like that, just let me know. And I'll get working on it and see what we can do. And if you have any special requests for the Star Trek Vegas, you know, if you see something online, you're like, hey, Eric, why don't you cover this? Because I'm really interested in this particular panel, or I'm really interested in this particular thing that I heard was being sold there or something like that, let me know. And I will do my best to check it out while I'm over there in Las Vegas. And Dave, you had another thing you want to talk about real quick?
I did. Sorry. Just because I plugged it here just real quick. This is the event I'm going to be doing Saturday, August 14th. This is the actual website. This is going to be at the Fenley Toyota Center in Prescott Valley, Arizona. They're still kind of putting this together. So far, the Fandomania event is going to go on, and it is going to go through. Obviously, if something changes, we're going to let you know. But if you want to come and check that out, that's the event I'm going to be at. And then again, too, that's going to be the event I'm going to be unveiling the Atom Man stuff. So that's going to be where you would go to get one of these Kirby T's original superhero trading cards. Atom Man's going to be one of them, and I'm going to have another one available, and then a t-shirt that actually goes with it. So you purchase the t-shirt, and you also get the limited edition trading card to actually go with it. So I just wanted to plug that because I've been doing a horrible job of telling you when and where it is. It is the Fandomania, Fenley Toyota Center, Prescott Valley, Arizona, on Saturday, August 14th.
Yeah, and I can say I've been to Prescott Valley many times, and I totally wish I was going to that event. In some ways, I almost wish I was going to it more than I'm going to Vegas because, like I said, it already seems like they're doing some shutdown shenanigans in Nevada, so I'm not sure how this is going to go, to be honest with you. But very fun place, Prescott Valley, that entire area. So I totally recommend folks to go check that out for sure. And Dave, maybe you can get some nice pictures, or maybe you can, you know, do something out there, maybe interview somebody or something like that, and add some added content for the show on Thursday. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I usually do that. Whenever I do an event, I'll typically just take my phone around and usually at least get some audio and definitely do that. And then Lynn is saying, is that the same day as Free Comic Day? I think it is, Lynn. I think it is.
Interesting. I didn't even realize that Free Comic Book Day was back. So I did not know that.
Yeah, I think it is. I could be wrong, but I think it is the same time because someone was asking me about it. I was like, well, no, that weekend I'm doing this event instead. So irregardless, if it is or isn't Free Comic Day, I'm going to be doing that event. I'm probably not doing a Free Comic Day event. I'm just going to be doing that. So if that is Free Comic Day, that's where you're going to find me. If it's not, okay, David Mott says, yeah, yes, thank you, David. Thank you.
Interesting. I didn't even know that. That's interesting. You know, I should try to see if I could go to a comic book shop in Vegas while I'm up there. That would be kind of neat. That would be kind of cool. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I can find a comic book shop to go over to in Vegas. That'd be kind of neat.
I can recommend two off the top of my head, either Alternate Reality or Maximum Comics, one of the two.
Yeah, maybe I'll check one of those out. Which of the two is closer to the strip?
Well, I know Alternate Reality just moved. And I think Maximum Comics, I think they just did something with one of the locations too. So I'm going to say I'm not sure. But either one of those two shops I can highly recommend. Jay with Maximum Comics is really great. And then Ralph with Alternate Reality is really great too. So either one of those is definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. Definitely. That might be an interesting thing to do. There's a couple things I have in the works that we'll see if I can do it, because I might be going to sort of meet and greet with some very, very big YouTubers. We'll just see if that happens or not, because that'll be interesting as well. All right. Is that about it, Dave? Is that all you've got as far as any other in-house business or anything like that?
Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there because I'd been talking about it and I wanted to make sure people knew when and where. And obviously we'll plug it again actually for next Thursday's episode. And I apologize, I didn't mean to take up so much time with that, but I wanted to tell everybody about it because I'm so bad with times and dates. So
gotcha. Anything else? Are we good?
No, that's it.
Okay. So David Mott says, thanks guys. David Mott, we really appreciate your support. We appreciate you coming out here. And then we've got a previous comment from the Rogues Gallery that I wanted to get to. I got to scroll through it because I didn't say it during the show, but this is going to be perfect. So Lynn Workman says, Dave, you know how much trouble I've had getting people in a group to work together? I can herd my actual cats easier than I can other artists. And with that, I am definitely leaving Lynn Workman with the last word.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live Podcast. You can learn more about Eric Alexander and Find the Live Show on either Twitch, YouTube, or Twitter by searching for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. If you are curious about co-host Dave Beatty, you can see some of his art, find social media links, and so much more at his website, DaveBeatty.com. That's DaveBeatty.com. If you enjoyed this episode of the Retro Rogues Live, be sure to like, share, and subscribe.